You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. Our question for the day is, symmetry evenness OCD. How can balance and equality ruin your life? I am your host, Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hi, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral and cognitive therapy and expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. So this is our eighth episode in our journey into the world of OCD.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to talk about symmetry and evenness OCD.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us what that is?
That is basically like the name depicts, that the obsession is around having symmetry and evenness. It can be objects being symmetrical, being even. It could be images coming up for them where things have to be even in their mind or symmetrical and just exact. It can even be somatic sensations, that a somatic feeling where the feeling has to be even and symmetrical.
This sounds very similar to the ordering and arranging OCD that we talked about a couple episodes ago. Could you tell us how this is similar and maybe how it's different?
Sure. Well, ordering and arranging is the compulsion, right? And people with a need for organization, for things to be lined up, for things to be color coordinated, for things to be categorized, that might be the obsession. The obsession might be, well, things have their place. With people who are ordering and arranging, the obsession is either everything has to be in its place. It has to be neat. It has to be aligned. It has to be in order. It has to be color coordinated. It has to be from the sizes, from small to big or big to small. So there is a category. There is some organized fashion. However, for symmetry, evenness, and exactness, the obsession is things have to feel the same. Things have to feel even, or things have to appear the same, or the left side has to appear the same as the right side. The left side has to feel the same as the right side. Images that come up for me, the lines have to be even. The spectrum of things that I am imagining has to be even across the board. So the compulsion isn't always about ordering and arranging. I mean, it could be. More often than not, it is adjusting themselves or adjusting the thing in itself so that it feels even and it looks even.
It's interesting because this is so different than harm OCD, which you talked about last episode, where there's this real fear of maybe I did something wrong or something bad's going to happen to me. This is a much more interior, subjective body sensation of things not being just right.
Harm OCD is very specific. You have a specific image of what it is that is being harmed, who the perpetrator is, and how you feel about it. With symmetry and exactness, it's very subjective. It's very intangible. It's very fluid. It's a feeling. And that feeling is relevant for you only, and it might not be relevant for another person. Another person may not even understand what you're suggesting or what you're feeling.
How would you know if someone has this as opposed to someone that's just very picky and very particular? Some people, maybe even women I've dated, actually see that this is like a good quality being very particular, right? So how would you kind of know?
Well, being picky, particular, that's a preference. You know, you can or you don't have to. For a person with OCD, the compulsion is just something that has to happen, that life cannot move on until it actually does happen. So it's no longer just a preference. It's not a preference for me to have things be even. No, it is an absolute must. And if it's not even, then we can't move on to the next step or the next task or the next activity.
So it's very charged.
It's very charged. I think the word charged is an underestimate of what that sensation really is. It's almost like if it's not done, you feel like just something wrong is about to happen, or there's just this wrong feeling about it.
Let's talk about some specific examples of symmetry and evenness OCD in some of your patients. So this one's a little bit more difficult to kind of get a handle on.
Actually comes a lot more with kids. A lot of kids have this need for symmetry and exactness. So for example, if you do something with your left side of your body, you feel the need to do the same thing with the right side of your body. And if you don't, then it's almost like you feel it's unbalanced and you have to correct that. So you'll correct it by repeating, by redoing that step in order to feel the evenness again. It can also come across with people tapping and touching to just make it even. So if I feel like my left side is off, I might tap with my left side. I might touch something with my left side. I might even wiggle my left side just so that I can feel balanced again. There's a lot of people with evenness and symmetry where they also have this obsession of start-stop is what we call it, start-stop or completion, where if I'm starting something here, then I have to end it here as well, or it has to come to a full completion so that everything feels even. And let's say you're going in a circle, right? A person who has evenness and symmetry obsession cannot do a half circle, because that's uneven. You have to go around the full circle. And that can manifest itself in all areas of life, such as reading. When you're reading, you can't stop in the middle of a sentence. If you're doing a project, if you're working on a project, you have to complete the project from beginning to end in one sitting. Stopping in the middle feels incomplete, feels uneven. And it can show up in other areas, such as playing sports. That if you're playing sports and you are, let's say you're shooting a ball, that you have to go through the whole motion or even the whole ritual that you have set up. If you're used to shooting a ball by bouncing it a number of times and spinning in a circle and then shooting, well, that becomes the routine in itself. That becomes the ritual. And you have to complete that whole sequence in order for you to feel even. The other thing that I think is very, very interesting and not a lot of people know about is that there is a high comorbidity between OCD and tics and Tourette's. So there's another interesting fact with the obsession of symmetry and evenness that a lot of people aren't aware of. And that is, there are a good 50% of kids with Tourette's who also have OCD. However, about 50% of kids with evenness and symmetry OCD also have Tourette's and tics. So there's actually a high comorbidity between Tourette's and tics and symmetry and exactness, evenness type of OCD.
So we're going to get into tics and Tourette's in a future episode, but for now, can you briefly tell us what tics disorder is?
A tic is basically when you have any type of motor movement, physical movement that is senseless movement. And the purpose of the movement is actually to release tension. They're involuntary movements, and oftentimes they don't occur within your awareness. Tics can also occur in the form of vocalizations. So you might have specific vocalizations such as barking, yelping, some random syllable that you must pronounce, some screeching noise that you feel the urge to make. And again, these vocalizations serve to release some sort of tension. They're involuntary, oftentimes occurring out of your awareness, especially for children.
So how would one differentiate a tic from a compulsion?
Well, a compulsion is something that is driven, something that is voluntary, something that you purposely do in order to undo something else, usually an obsession. However, a tic, again, it's involuntary. It's not like you're purposely engaging in this vocal tic or this motor tic in order to get rid of something else or to neutralize something else. You just can't help doing it. And usually the times when you are caught up in the tic is when you're under a lot of tension and the tic itself serves to release that tension. So again, the main difference is that one is purposeful and voluntary and the other one is involuntary and driven.
So with symmetry and evenness OCD, are you saying that there's an underlying tension there that gets relieved through the tic even though it's involuntary?
That's not what I'm saying. There isn't any specific research that points to that. However, that might be the case. That might be the case why certain people with evenness and exactness OCD feel that drive to feel even, to do things that would appear even and symmetrical. We don't have the research today to show the cause and effect of why people with symmetry and exactness OCD tend to show tics.
So this one also seems like one that would be hard to diagnose, or that you could go a while without actually noticing. You probably would think this is just part of who I am.
Well, I think with most OCD symptoms, when they are in their initial phase and when they are still manageable, they can go undiagnosed. And usually over time, when they become more evolved and complex and unmanageable, that is when other people start noticing it, whether it's a family member or a school personnel. And that is when it's brought to a therapist's attention.
So with symmetry and evenness OCD, how would you sort of notice it in someone that was not yourself? Like, how would you notice if your child possibly had this?
If they are moving in awkward ways. So for example, if they're moving in awkward ways where the behavior seems senseless and doesn't serve a purpose, that is one indication. If you see them tapping a lot, tapping is related to a lot of symmetry and evenness. If they are engaged in tasks to completion and can't stop until something is actually complete, that is another indication. If they are constantly looking in the mirror to check and see if they are symmetrical, that is another indication. So there are many indications out there of someone who can be experiencing symmetry and evenness OCD.
How would we treat this here at the Rooted Freedom Center?
Again, treatment involves exposure therapy, which is the evidence-based treatment for OCD. And at the Renewed Freedom Center, what we would do in accordance with exposure therapy is purposely have you do things so that you are promoting an uneven feeling. So rather than tapping on both sides, we might just have you tap on one side or tap on the wrong side or tap with the wrong part of your body. Or rather than tapping, we might have you skip instead of tapping, right? And for feeling of needing everything to be even, left side and right side, well, we'll just want you to do things on one side of your body and not the other in order to generate that feeling of unevenness. If the symptom involves the start and stop, the full completion, then we'll have you do the quarter circle, or we'll have you do things to the point where it's incomplete, halfway done, a quarter way done, almost done, not exactly complete, so that you're not getting that completion feeling.
And how do patients usually respond to this? Is this where there's a lot of resistance to this one?
You know, there's always a lot of resistance when it comes to exposure therapy, and that is why it's really important to find a therapist who knows what they're doing. A therapist who is trained in doing exposure therapy knows what to expect and knows how to guide you through that process where the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So if you have OCD, it is really important to find someone, first of all, who is knowledgeable in OCD. More importantly, someone who is trained and has experience in conducting exposures and response prevention therapy.
Great. Thanks so much, Dr. Yip.
Absolutely, Noah.
Thank you for listening to the Stressless Life Podcast. You can join the discussion and find more information at thestresslesslifepodcast.com. Please write to us with questions and comments at podcast@thestresslesslife.com. Until next time, stay stressless.